Have you ever been told, try again? Try again. I know I have been many times throughout life. You know, I can remember when I was a little child and had my bike with my training wheels, and all of a sudden that day came where Dad took off my training wheels and off I went, and I fell and I fell and I fell. And what would my dad do? He'd pick me back up, put me on the seat, and guess what he'd say? Try again. Try again. Well, that's what Jesus does this week. So let's lead up to that. Last week, we remember that Jesus predicted for the first time that he was going to Jerusalem, he was going to suffer, he was going to die, and he was going to rise. And in that gospel, we remember Peter hears this, pulls him aside, and rebukes him. Rebukes him. Why? Well, we looked at that a little bit last week, and I mentioned that Peter had a lot to lose here. Because remember, he left behind father, boats, and nets. And I said last week, plus something. And I wanted you to try to figure out what the plus something was. Now, some of you came up to me this week and said, I've got it figured out. Peter left behind his wife. Probably not something I want to talk about too deeply here. Guys, just leave your wife and follow. But the truth of the matter is, most scholars believe that Peter's wife had already died before he became an apostle. Not the answer. So is it children? Well, we don't know if they had children. So we realize that's not the answer either. So what is it? Well, let's remember the story. They fished hard all night, shore, washing the nets. All of a sudden, Jesus comes along with this great crowd, tells Peter, take me out in a boat, preaches from there, says what? Lower the nets. And we remember the rest of the story. It's such a tremendous haul that they have to call in the other boats. And both boats are almost sank. We hear that. And these are enormous fish. These are large fish. And there you have the plus something that Peter left behind. Father, boats, nets, plus one gigantic income. Huge. Do you realize the money they made selling these fish? Remember, they all didn't leave. They sold. And with that, what were they able to do? Expand their enterprise. So when Jesus says, I'm going to suffer and die, we can understand why he says, wait, Jesus, I don't like this. I got a lot to lose. A lot to lose. So, Jesus decides, I'm going to try again. You heard it. Jesus says, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to die. And I'm going to rise. And how does this one go? How does this debate go? Well, we realize this. They argue amongst themselves about what? Who's going to be the greatest? The greatest. Where do you start? Where do you even start with that great debate? Okay? This discussion of the greatest, though, I want you to understand this, what they were trying to do. The disciples had a firm conviction that Jesus had come to overthrow the Roman government. So let's just take the United States form of government. Imagine what they were discussing. I will be the Chief Justice. I'm going to be the Vice President. I'm going to be the Speaker of the House. And on and on and on. So that way, when Jesus is enthroned in power, they have it all figured out. Who's going to be what? Who's going to have the power? Who's going to have it? And what happens? Jesus asks them, what were you arguing about on the way? Not even discussing. He heard them arguing. Arguing. And there was silence. I've been silenced before. I'll give you an example. When I was in 11th grade, I was going down to egg class between classes. Okay? go in there. Some of my classmates, for some inexplicable reason, got this brilliant idea that what they were going to do is they were going to stay out in the hallway when class rang and try to hide from the teacher. So here I come along, and all of a sudden they say, "Peter, Peter, Peter, why don't you hide out with us?" And for some inexplicable reason, I did, okay? Well, some of my other classmates, I saw one, I remember one for sure, just said, "Forget you guys, I'm going into class." Class rings, and there we are, we're hiding. Okay, we think, man, we're hiding from the teacher. Well, little to known to us, principal is standing behind us, and he asks this question, "What are you guys doing?" And guess what? There was silence. What are you going to say? There was silence. And what did that silence mean? Got an hour of detention after school, which meant I was late for baseball practice, which meant I had to run hills at the end of baseball practice, which meant I got to go home and tell my mom and dad what happened, and which meant this, I didn't get grounded, because for the most part, I kept my nose clean. But they used it as a teaching lesson to all of a sudden move forward and to say, learn how to say no. Do you know, yes gets us in more trouble than the word no? Do you hear that? Yes gets us in more trouble than if we just say no. And yet, be careful. Be careful with Jesus. Did you notice what Jesus didn't do? Jesus didn't rebuke them for wanting to be great. Read that gospel. He doesn't. But what he does is he shows them how to be great. How to be great. And what's he do? He takes a child, throws it in the midst of them, and says, here it is. Now, let's remember what a child represented. The lowest social status, someone without power, and the marginalized. It doesn't happen very often, but it happened in all three readings today, where all of a sudden the marginalized are there. And you know what the marginalized were in the readings of today? Get this. Someone who doesn't take my side, our side. And so what do we do with them? We say they aren't us. We marginalize them. Here are all three readings. It's all there. Here they are. First reading, due to Greek control of the Holy Land, Jews were forced to give up a belief in God. Some of the Jews converted to Greek ways and pagan worship. Other Jews stayed faithful to God. The Jews who turned from God speak in today's first reading. They plot against the faithful Jew, are sarcastic towards the faithful Jew, and ridicule a faith in God. Where does this lead to? Division. Second reading. James is frustrated with his people and asking, where do the wars and conflicts among you come from? There is what? Vision. And the great debate of the gospel, think about a debate amongst the disciples. Andrew, you couldn't possibly be the vice president. You're not good enough. Where does that lead to? Division. And so Jesus decides, all right, I'm going to take you down a different path. It's not going to be a path about power, which leads to division. I'm going to take you down a path where greatness is defined by being the lowest of all and the servant. So here's my question for you tonight. How many of you have actually taken up a debate amongst yourselves about which one of you is the lowest of all and the servant of all? I don't see any hands. You know what that means? No division. Jesus took care of it. You want to be great, you be the servant of all and the least of all. No debate. You know, I wouldn't say these are absolute truths, but I wrote down two thoughts that I think are true most of the time. First thought, greatness, power, too easily leads to division and destruction. Service so easily points to the wisdom of humility. Let me say that again. Greatness, power, too easily leads to division, destruction. Service, so easily, points to the wisdom of humility. Okay? So seek greatness in the eyes of God. Be humble and be of service. That's greatness. And you know what? There's no debate. There's no division. Isn't Jesus a brilliant teacher? He's brilliant. So let's remember that, brothers and sisters, as we celebrate our sacred mysteries this night.